Mark 16, verse 15. And I have a very simple message this morning. I just want to ask a question. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the gospel? Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to preach the gospel. We're not to preach any other message. We're not to preach, I don't know, how to get rich. We're not to preach some other scheme, but we are to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Of course, we know God is an omnipresent, invisible spirit, so when the Bible talks about the right hand of God, it talks about the place of power and majesty in heaven. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Bro, I'm going to change mics up here. That's what you're waiting for. I know. I just didn't want to stop in the middle of reading. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's what everyone's been waiting for. All right. Praise the Lord. So this morning in our text, we read that we are to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And that we must believe and be baptized in order to avoid eternal damnation or judgment. And that there are some signs that are going to follow those that believe. And that we would cast out devils and speak with new tongues. It was so funny. I won't say a name, but one of our young people was sitting at the table and was explaining. He said, the Holy Spirit was making my tongue do this. You know, blah, 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 blah. But it's amazing, praise the Lord, to see young people excited to be talking in tongues, filled with the Spirit, praise the Lord. So we see these signs following true believers, praise the Lord. But what is the gospel? If we are to preach the gospel, if we are to obey the gospel, we need to know what is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, tells us what is the gospel. Paul writes, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. This is the salvation message of the gospel right here. He's about to tell us, this is what will save you if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, along with these other things Paul had preached, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The first thing we need to know when it comes to the gospel is that Jesus died for you. Yes. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for our sins. Praise the Lord. As our young people were saying, the preaching at camp, they said, your bill has already been paid. Praise the Lord. Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt of sin for us. Praise God. So we no longer have to worry about having to atone for our sins because Jesus has done that for us. He is our atonement. He is our payment. Praise the Lord. That He has taken the punishment for us. Praise God. So He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4 says, and that he was buried. So the good news is Jesus died for our sins, but also that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Praise the Lord. That right there is the gospel. And it's incredible to me that you can get into online discussions with theologians who don't know what the gospel is. And I've done it. And these guys got all these letters behind their name, and they can't figure out what the gospel is when the Bible tells us right there, plain as day, what the gospel is. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Without that, what good news do you have? The word gospel simply means good news. Go preach the good news. Jesus has just risen from the dead, meets with his disciples, and says, go tell everybody the good news. And we got theologians today, they're like, well, what's the good news? Like, my dad would say, they're so smart, they're stupid. The Bible tells us what the good news is. The good news is Jesus died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Praise God. That's the good news. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Moving on. Romans 10, 14 to 16. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, saddest verse of the Bible. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? He said, they've not all obeyed the gospel. You say, well, I believe the gospel. But believing is an action word. Believing is something you do. Believing involves obedience, praise God. And if you look it up in the Greek, the word believe is not, or faith is not something that you have. It's something that you do, praise God. If we believe the gospel, we will obey the gospel, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If I really believe in the gospel, I'm going to obey the gospel. Amen. Well, preacher, you're not making any sense this morning. Because you just said the gospel was Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. How do you obey a historical event? Well, that was the pattern that he laid down for us that we're to follow in order to receive salvation. We're going to study some scriptures that explain how that works. So the first thing is, if Jesus died for our sins, we also need to die. Jesus himself said this in Luke 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and if I'm to obey the gospel, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I need to take up my cross every day and follow him. Follow him where? To the death of the flesh. Deny myself. It says, let him deny himself. There is self-denial involved in obedience to the gospel. If we're to truly obey the gospel, we need to deny the desires of the flesh. We need to deny the desires of our mind and the lusts of the flesh and the spirit. We need to deny those things and pursue holiness. We just finished a series about the importance of pursuing holiness. But this morning, we must learn to deny ourselves. And the word we use for that is repent. We talk about repentance. If we are to really follow Jesus, we must repent of our sins. Repent is a simple word that simply means to turn around. It's a decision. You decide, I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop sinning. I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to stop those things that the Bible condemns, and I'm going to start doing the things the Bible approves. You see, the Bible is our roadmap. How do I follow Jesus? Follow his word. Praise the Lord. So we could talk about some specifics of those things, but we must give up sin, anything that displeases God, deny ourselves, because there is pleasure in sin. The Bible says so. The pleasure of sin, however, is only for a season. Amen. And then comes the fruit of that. As the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. Jesus goes on to say, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I don't want to be ashamed of Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we must deny ourselves. We must die to the flesh. We must put to death the desires and lusts of the flesh and mind and so on. That we must put those things to death in order to serve the Lord. And we don't have time to go into it all this morning, but if you want some homework, you could read Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 goes into great detail on how we must die out to our sin. Concluding in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Praise the Lord. So how do we obey Jesus' death? We must die to sin. We must repent of our sin. We must turn from sin. Everybody with me so far? Praise the Lord. All right. How do we obey the fact that Jesus was buried? How do you obey a burial? We ourselves need to be buried. Praise the Lord. And going back to Romans chapter 6, and verse 3, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 through 17. I know I'm going over a lot of scripture this morning, but I just want to lay this out very clearly, that if we are to obey the gospel, we need to obey the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see, there are a lot of churches that have traditions that do not involve obedience to the gospel. I had someone tell me one time that said, well, we believe in, how'd she put it? She said, we follow the Bible after the Reformed tradition. I'm like, the Reformed tradition? You don't need that. You need the Bible. You're adding this other, you know, aspect to your theology here. But anyway, we could debate that some other time, but it just struck me as wrong. But we are to serve the Lord, not after man's tradition, but after the tradition of the Bible. For in Him, verse 9, talking about Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. We believe in one God. Amen? There's one God. Does anybody believe there's only one God? Amen. Hallelujah. That His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now that's a bit of a mouthful. But in the Old Testament, that was the sign of the covenant. And now we see that has been replaced with baptism. If someone was uncircumcised in the Old Testament, they were not a Jew. They were not one of God's people. It was as simple as that. They were not able to be saved. So in the New Testament, we now have that replaced with baptism. It says, verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Just contemplate that verse for a second. We are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also, in other words, in baptism, we also are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Those that say baptism doesn't matter, I'm sorry to be so bold this morning, but you need to read your Bible. There's some pretty clear scriptures in the Bible about the importance of this. This isn't just some kind of thing we do as a ritual that just kind of shows everybody that we've become a Christian. There is something that God does in the spiritual realm when we are baptized. Can I explain all of that? No. I just know what works. God commanded us to do it. We obey it and it works. Praise God. And you will feel the difference when you're baptized most of the time. So you have this experience where God removes your sin. Praise the Lord. And we'll get into that here in a moment. But we have this very clear scripture that if we are to obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we must be buried with Him in baptism. If we are not buried with Him in baptism, then we have not obeyed the burial aspect of the gospel. Our experience is incomplete. And you, verse 13, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened or made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah. How many are glad for the forgiving power of God this morning? Praise the Lord. When we're buried with Him in baptism, we rise to walk in newness of life, and He washes away our sin, forgiving you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. If you want victory over sin, if you want victory over the devil, you need to obey the gospel by being buried with Jesus. Hallelujah. Being buried in His name. Hallelujah. He takes away your sin. He takes away all power of the devil over you. You are a free person after being buried with Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here this morning that has been baptized in the name of Jesus and they're not ashamed to shout about it? Is there anybody here this morning? You're glad for what the gospel has done in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we understand, if we're to obey the gospel this morning, we need to die. We need to be buried. But if we're dead and buried, that's the end. We're dead and buried. We need to follow Jesus all the way to the resurrection. Praise God. If we're to obey the resurrection, we need a resurrection of our own. Praise God. And we know what that resurrection power is. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to that in verse 11, but we're going to start in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Remember, we started in Mark. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There is now no condemnation or no damnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We just talked about how to get in Christ Jesus, be buried with Him. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We need the Spirit this morning. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. It's not just a matter of making a decision to turn around. You're no longer walking in the flesh. You're no longer following the desires of the flesh. You're now walking in the Spirit. Praise God. That the Holy Ghost inside of you is directing your life. It's directing your direction for your whole life. It's guiding your decisions. It's guiding you. It's giving you conviction. There's some things that are changing in your life because the Holy Ghost is making a difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Praise God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What are you going to follow? Your own mind, your own ideas, your own thinking, your carnal mindset? Or are you going to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost? Praise God.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In our own flesh, our own mind, it's constantly warring against the Spirit. There's something inside of us that just does not want to submit to God. There's that sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, and it just keeps rising up, and it just keeps constantly pushing back against the influence of the Spirit in our life. We must yield ourselves to God. We must yield ourselves to the Spirit. Praise God. It says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot. Everybody say cannot. Cannot please God. We cannot please God in our flesh. Those of the world that say, well, I think I'm a good enough person to get into heaven. Here's your verse. You can't do it. It's impossible to be good enough to get into heaven because you're still in the flesh. And as long as you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. It's impossible. You might think you're pretty good. You might be better than all your friends. You might think you're better than all your friends. But the Bible says that you're still in the flesh. You cannot please God. You need the Holy Ghost. You need Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Praise God. Because look at the good news that happens in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hallelujah. You're not in the flesh anymore. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you've got the Spirit of God living inside of you, giving you power over sin, giving you the power to live a holy life, giving you the power to do what's right. You've got Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Praise God. You're no longer in the flesh. If you've got the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is leading you, hallelujah, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, He's living in you. Praise God. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. That's black and white this morning. It's just plain as day. It's not an option. It's not just the icing on the cake. It's one of the essential components of the gospel. If we're to obey the gospel, we need the resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost inside of us. Verse 10 explains why. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There you go. That's the gospel right there happening. Because you've been filled with the Spirit, your body is now dead. You've repented. It's been buried in baptism. And now you're walking in resurrecting power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow, this is building. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. It's the resurrection inside. Hallelujah. Can we stand to our feet this morning? Can we give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Grant us revelation, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. It's so simple. A child can understand it. That the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's that simple. And I need to obey the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus with my own death to sin,
my own burial in water of baptism in His name, and by being filled with His Spirit through pain, the resurrected power of Jesus living inside of me. It really is that simple. There's not much more to it. We could go into a whole lot of things. There's a lot of the Bible has to say about it, but it's really just that simple. I just need to obey the gospel by experiencing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for myself. Hallelujah. It's not enough to know about it as a historical fact. It's not enough to know, yes, Jesus died. I need to die with Him. I need to take up my cross daily and follow Him. Yes, it's enough to know that He was buried, but no, I need to be buried. I need to be buried with Him. I need to identify with Him that yes, just like Jesus was buried in a tomb for 3 days, I'm going to be buried with Him temporarily under the water. Praise God. That I will rise to walk in newness of life filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Praise the Lord. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's powerful. It's powerful. We serve a God that is powerful. And when we obey the gospel has the power to save for all eternity. It will save you from sin now, and it will save you for all eternity. Praise God. It will save you from sin in this life, and it will save you from damnation in the next life. Praise God. But we must obey the gospel. Hallelujah. If we're to be saved. But what a wonderful promise to have, to know that salvation lasts for all eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's not something you need to go to school for 3 years to understand. This is something so simple. Hallelujah. The children understand it. Acts 2, verse 38 and 39 tells us that much. It says, "Then Peter said unto them," he had just finished explaining the gospel. He'd been preaching the gospel. He preached about Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection in Acts chapter 2. The people were all wondering what was happening. They had received the Holy Ghost. People came together. What does this mean? Peter begins to preach the gospel. He preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Their response to the gospel message was, "What do we need to do?" They heard the gospel message that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. What do we need to do? Verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's response in telling them, here's how to respond to the preaching of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. This is what you must do in order to obey this message. In verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." Isn't that what we've been talking about this morning? Yeah. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We've talked about that this morning. "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The death, burial, and resurrection. Our own death, our own burial, our own resurrection. "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That verse tells me it's for everybody. It said it's for you, it's for your children, the next generation. And the generation after that, the generation after that. The gospel message has not changed in 2,000 years of church history. Many have tried to change it, tried to alter it, say, well, that doesn't apply anymore. That was just for back then. It hasn't changed. If you're going to mess with the gospel, you might want to pull out Galatians chapter 1 and give it a real careful reading. Just saying. You don't want to mess with the gospel. There's a curse on those that want to change the gospel. We're going to stay with what the Bible teaches is the gospel. We need to obey the gospel. It's for all that are far off. It's for every nationality. It's for every area of the world. Praise God. It's for as many as the Lord our God shall call. If God is calling you this morning, this is the message you need to obey. Praise the Lord. So my question for you this morning is, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you repented of your sin? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin? Have you received the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we stand together this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never repented of your sin, you've never decided to follow Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you've never been buried with Jesus in baptism, in His name, had His name called on your life, please come and talk to me. We would love to baptize you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the Bible sign of speaking in tongues, please come see me. Praise God. We want to pray with you. We want to see you receive this wonderful, wonderful experience for yourself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have repented of your sins, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, why not come to this altar this morning and just rejoice in the promise that God has given you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we all come this morning? Praise the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. Been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the smooth cleansing blood? We praise you.
We
magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. life flowing from Emmanuel's veins. That new life no longer ever be the same. Since Jesus came, set me free from my sins, gave me a chance to start all over again. That new life flowing from Emmanuel's veins. Jesus came and set me free from my sin. Gave me a chance to start all over again. Come into life, flowing from Emmanuel's veins. Come into life, flowing from Emmanuel's veins. My sin gave me a chance to start all over again. I'm new life, flowing from Emmanuel's veins. I'm new life, flowing from Emmanuel's veins.
I found a new life, I no longer ever be the same. Since Jesus came and set me free from my sin, oh, he gave.